Thanks for tuning in to the Bethany Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message helps you grow in your faith with Christ. If you'd like to find out more about what's going on at Bethany or give, you can visit us online at bethanysite.com or download our mobile app.
Merry Christmas. Oh, it's so good to see everyone, and if you've turned on online, we're just so happy that you joined us, and it's our Christmas season, and we're in this series called Jubilee, and if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 61, we're going to be looking at this message called Provide Comfort, and as you're turning there, there's a couple things I wanted to talk about. We have winter camp coming up for our junior high and high school. It's in February, but there's, a graduating cost, and so if you want to get in on it, you want to do it before Christmas season ends. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be in Ellensburg, and there should be snow, lots of snow, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's really one of the entry points to our youth group, and so we'd love for you to do that. The other thing is I wanted to add to the highlights that you just watched. Christmas Eve is a time when people will come to church that normally don't come to church, so inviting them is a lot easier. We want to partner with you. We have these invite cards that you can use. We even have door hangers. They're out in the lobby, and we'd love for you to do that. One of the things that I would suggest, and we've seen people do this, is they come twice. They come one time with their family, and it's their Christmas Eve, but there's also Christmas Eve Eve, and many times they'll invite a friend or a co-worker, and they'll meet them and come to Christmas Eve service, and we'd love for you to use this time to invite people, because we're to proclaim the good news. We're going to transition to the Advent candle. Advent means coming, and the first coming of Jesus Christ, who was the Messiah, was over 2,000 years ago, and that's what we call Christmas. And the second Advent is when Jesus Christ comes back. And each kind of week of Advent season is kind of this anticipation, waiting for Christmas Day. And each candle represents kind of a week. The first one was hope and then joy. And today we're celebrating love. When I practice this, it lit right up. So anyway, I love the way it lights so slowly. So anyway, join me in prayer as we pray for that. Father God, we just thank you that you loved us so much, that you sent us the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much that you have given us life, and we pray that you would help us to be filled with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. And let me read the Advent verse that I have here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:16 and 17. And so we're in this series called Jubilee, and just to bring everyone in the room up to speed and anyone that's watching for the first time, Jubilee is this special celebration every 50 years that God gave in Leviticus 25 for the children of Israel to follow. And every 50 years, there was a declaration of liberty. And there was slaves were set free. People were set free from all their debt. They went back to their original homestead, their original land. And so it was just this wonderful thing. And the actual word from Jubilee in Hebrew is this word that means a ram's horn. It's kind of a blast from a ram's horn. Now let me read to you Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. But just to set this up, the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 4 goes back to his hometown in Nazareth. And when he's in the synagogue, he reads from Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And then he sits down and he says, this prophecy today has come true. You know, and he says, basically, I am the Messiah. This is the year of Jubilee. So let me read to you Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and then we'll jump in and look at this idea of provide comfort. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord Yahweh for the display of his splendor. And when we look at this, this idea of Jubilee comes from Leviticus 25:10 that says, consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you, and each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. And one of the things about this Jubilee, it's the idea of the year of the Lord's favor. And then he follows that up by talking about providing comfort. And he says in verse 2, you know, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. And so one of the big things of Jubilee year is to provide comfort. It is one of the most wonderful things to provide comfort. Jesus said that if you even provide a cup of cold water for someone in his name, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And one of the things that we do at Bethany on Christmas Eve to provide comfort is we take a water offering. And I'm excited about that. Every year we do that. This is going to be the 13th year. So far, we've given over $1 million for people to have clean water. And it changes culture, it changes villages where it happens. It's just amazing when you get clean water. And so we're excited about doing that. Most of it happens in third world countries. We've helped in Nepal, in Mexico, and several countries in Africa. So it's really exciting. And we want you to know that every dollar of the offering during Christmas Eve goes to this water, clean water. So this idea of providing comfort, especially for those who grieve, is got an exclamation part by using this word instead. And if you'll notice in verse 3, it uses the word instead 3 times. Provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And you could also translate instead to for, you know, beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for despair. And it means in place of. And so instead of this one thing, you have this. Instead of this one thing, you have that. And so I just want to kind of go through and give you these 3 insteads and just talk about how important they are of providing comfort. So the first one is to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And this first one is an illustration of getting dressed for a wedding or for a funeral. I don't know if you noticed that, but this is something that everyone who reads this would understand, that they had 2 kinds of celebrations. One is the happy celebration, a wedding, and the other one is a grieving, it would be a funeral. And the crown of beauty instead of ashes, the crown of beauty could also be translated headdress, a beautiful headdress, or could be translated a turban. But it's the idea of putting on something beautiful in your head, you know, on your head and going to a wedding instead of putting ashes on your face. And that's how they would mourn. They would mourn someone and go to a funeral by taking ashes from a fire and putting it on their face and on their forehead and on their neck, and they would look the part. Now, one of the things about us when we grieve here in North America, for the most part, is we don't really have any signification that you're in mourning. And it'd be so easier if people came to church, you know, with gray all over their face or this blackened thing. We need to comfort this person because they're going through mourning. I know in the Victorian age, especially in Britain, they would wear black. And they would wear black armbands, you know, to let people know that they were grieving. And they would have a certain amount of time of grieving. And this idea of bemoaning and crying. And now when we go through grief, you know, we just can kind of not, no one really knows until you tell them or you break down in tears. And there has been more grief in our church with people losing spouses and losing someone that they love. And there's been people that I, you know, talk to even today. And the minute I put my hand on them and say, how are you doing? They just start crying because they've lost someone. And so this is the idea of a wedding or, you know, a funeral. And this is the idea that we comfort people. And we have this exchange, this trade for beauty instead of ashes. The second one is joy instead of mourning. The oil of joy instead of mourning. And mourning in the Hebrew word is the idea of a mourning ritual. Not early mourning ritual, but a mourning, grieving ritual or funeral ritual. And it's the idea of grieving. And grieving always has to do with loss. It's the idea that you've lost something. And it's the idea of sorrow and sadness and lamenting and bewailing and bemoaning and the woe that has come over you. And here is the idea of the oil of joy instead of mourning. And the oil of joy is what they would put on their faces when they would go to weddings. They would take oil and they'd put it on their face. And I don't know how to explain that. I just know that there's some products that my wife uses, you know, that you put on your face and it's supposed to bring moisture to it. We just got back from Hawaii. Elaine loved Hawaii. You know, to me it's a little too hot. And I live in a family when we're over there that don't believe in air conditioning. So no air conditioning in the evening. It's just too hot for me. But for Elaine, she says, I don't have to put anything on my face. It's all moisture. It's so humid here. It's wonderful. And I don't really know how to explain this idea of putting oil, but most of the time it was olive oil that they would put on their faces and put into their hair. The only thing I can kind of come close to it is when I was a kid growing up, the hairstyle for men, especially ones that went to our church, you know, I grew up in an independent, fundamental, you know, King James Version only church, and they all had short hair, and I had short hair, and my dad would put something in his hair called Vitalis. You know, I don't know if you know what Vitalis is, but it's just grease is what it is. You know, you might as well just put your hand into a jar of Crisco and just rub it all over there. But it was a special, and it had kind of a special oily smell, and I remember loving that smell. My dad put it in his hair every day. He'd go off to work, but I would get to have a little bit in my hair on Sundays, you know. And when we go to church, one of the ways you knew that you were in church is, you know, all the men's hair glistened. And so this is the idea that, you know, when you go to a wedding that you glisten, that there's this, you know, this oil of joy, there's gladness, there's happiness, and you're so happy for the couple that's getting married, and then you, it's like a family reunion and friends and celebrating, and this glistening of the oil of joy instead of mourning and grief and sorrow. The third one is praise instead of despair. Praise instead of despair, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And praise is the idea of giving glory or encouraging prayers or a song of prayers or noticing and giving a praise for praiseworthy actions. And it's the idea of boasting or admiring or eulogizing or even to exclaim hallelujah. Hallelujah is praise the Lord in Hebrew. Yah is Yahweh, it's God's special name, and then Halah is praise. So praise the Lord, it's exclaiming, and it also is adoration. Adoration is really difficult because adoration is when you are adoring something. But this idea of a garment of praise or the garment of adoration, but the one that comes out the most, especially at Christmas time and Thanksgiving, is thanksgiving. It's giving thanks. And one of the best things about having a garment of praise or a garment of thanksgiving is that you exchange it for your spirit of despair. And the word that's used for despair here means literally to go colorless, that your face loses its color and you just go blah or just go pale. It's the idea of all the D words, disheartened, discouraged, depressed, downcast, dispirited, dismayed, dampened, dim. It's the idea of being crestfallen. And it can also have the idea that your whole spirit just becomes so discouraged that you just have a spirit of despair. It's the idea of like a wick on a candle, like these candles here, if I blow it out, sometimes there'll be a glow, even though it's out, the flame is out, but there's still a glow from the wick. And it's that idea that you've had your spirit blown out and you just have a smoldering wick that's left. And it also has the idea of when people become really a spirit of despair, that their face has no expression. They're just going through the motions, and you know, like words like inexpressive, unexpressive, expressionless. And it shows up at Christmas time. It shows up in the holiday times, even among people. I'm not talking about just Christians, but talking about pre-Christians. It shows up with depressive behavior, over-drinking, overeating, anger, impatience, and also just going through the motions. Sadly enough, suicides go up during that time. There's just a hard, hard time for many people. And the spirit of despair is when you lose hope. You lose hope. I'm going to give you a bonus one. I gave you three, but they're actually in this chapter. If you look at verse 7, there's a bonus instead. So I'm really giving you four insteads. Let me read to you verse 7. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in the land, and everlasting joy will be yours. So this one is a double portion instead of shame. A double portion instead of shame. And a double portion is just the most awesome idea there ever is. And if you've ever had shame or disgrace in your life, it is a horrible, horrible feeling. It's a horrible thing to go through. And there's something wonderful to be able to exchange that for a double portion. And the Messiah coming, the year of favor, the Jubilee, is the idea instead of people being caught in shame and disgrace, they actually will have a double portion. And the reference for the Messiah is Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross and dying for all our sins and dying for all the shameful, all the disgraceful things. And that all was nailed on him on the cross. And he took it. And so that we can have a double portion of everlasting joy, a double portion of his inheritance. And the double portion is something that I really like. And I don't know how to explain it very well. And the only thing I know how to explain it is at Christmas time, there's holiday foods. I don't know if you know that. How many know there's holiday foods at Christmas time? And everyone has their favorites, and there's this one favorite that we have. And it started years ago, and my mom made the first dish, and then Elaine picked it up, and I probably shouldn't say this, especially this being televised, is Elaine improved on it. My mom would make this bean dish, you know, so the idea of having beans at Christmas, we just laughed about it when we first heard it. She says, I'm going to be making beans. And so Elaine would tell people that were coming over, I'm making this French bean dish. You know, what kind of beans? Baked beans. Baked beans for Christmas? It just sounds horrible. And they call it a cassoulet, you know, so that's a fancy word, you know, like kind of Frenching it up for, you know, casserole. So, you know, not only is it a bean dish, but it's a casserole, and it's this idea of a French casserole, so it's cassoulet, and we just laughed about it, but the first time you eat it, it's just unbelievable. You take the baked beans, and you put in, cut up a Polish sausage, and it's really meaty, so you put a lot of a Polish sausage, and then you put in big hunks of turkey or chicken, whatever you like, and you know, the turkey and the chicken breast, you know, so that it's really got this good pieces of meat, and then Elaine switched my mom's recipe from duck, which none of us really like duck, and I know if you really love duck, you know, I'll probably duck from you in the lobby. So anyway, there's something about, you know, Elaine puts bacon in it, you know, which is way better than duck, in my opinion, you know, just my opinion. And so it's bacon and sausage and chicken. And then the secret ingredient is, you know, salt and pepper, but then brown sugar. And she packs it with brown sugar. and puts it in the oven and bakes it for hours. I mean hours. So that it has a darkened, blackened crust on top. And then when you put out this, you cut through that, you know, the smell of the sweet and the meat and the bacon and it is so amazing. And you take one bite, and the thing is, you have one bowl of that, and that's all you should really eat. But a double portion is when you say to your wife, could I have another bowl? And she looks at you with disdain. Should you really? But please, could I have another bowl? And she lets me have a second bowl of cassoulet. That is a double portion. And Jubilee is God saying to his people and saying to us, here is a double portion. Here's a double portion. And the most amazing thing, there's a couple questions I want to give you on this. Couple questions. What is a double portion? What is a double portion that God is talking about? And what is the double portion that he's talking about? So it could be several things. One is that it could be part of God's redemptive story. And he sends the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone that comes to know Christ, and everyone who's starting to come to know Christ, and everyone that finds Christ, you know, is involved in this redemptive story. It could also be double honor. You know, he's talking about people that have been disgraced and become a shame. Isaiah talks about all kinds of being taken into captivity and having the nations destroy their city and their capital and their life and taking them off into slavery. And so, you know, they have this terrible disgrace and shame that happens to them nationally. And so it could be the idea of double honor. Now, Psalm 62:7 says, my salvation and my honor depends on God. All of my salvation and all of my honor depends on the Lord. It's God who does it. And when you have a double portion, is that double portion, first of all, what he talks about, everlasting joy. The idea that we can have everlasting joy. And then because he's the Prince of Peace, that we can have peace. Peace with God and peace with men and peace with ourselves. And then for some who struggle with doubts and fears, assurance of salvation. And then for people who struggle with, am I really forgiven? What about the sin that I keep committing over and over? Am I really forgiven? And a double portion of assurance that Jesus died for you and died for all of your sins, and you are forgiven completely. And then Jesus says to us that we could ask for the Holy Spirit. And there's this idea of asking for a double portion of the Holy Spirit. And the gladness and the oil of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and makes it real, and he lives inside of us. So let me give you something that you can take home. It's real practical in this. I think it's real practical. I call it an instead tool. And this is the idea that you just kind of go through those insteads. And when you get dressed in the morning, when you look in the mirror and you look at yourself, that you practice the insteads, especially if you're struggling during Christmas time, especially here in the Northwest where it gets dark. I mean, it's dark at 4:20, and sun doesn't come up till about 7:45, you know. You don't have to get up till 7:30 to see the sunrise. I mean, it's just kind of dark, and a lot of people get discouraged, and then they start comparing themselves, and it's the first of the year. And so anyway, I just kind of want to go through these. Number one is beauty instead of ashes. So when you're looking at the mirror and you're getting dressed, and one of the things you can choose to ask God to help you focus on the things that are beautiful in your life and beautiful in the world, instead of having the ashes, instead of focusing on the terrible things and the bitter things and the depressing things. And this idea of getting dressed, this idea is the question, are you getting dressed every morning for a wedding, or are you getting dressed every morning for a funeral? Are you going to have the spirit of a wedding, or are you going to go out and have the spirit of a funeral? And this idea of dressing is even in the New Testament. In Colossians 3, 9 and 10, you know, the Apostle Paul is writing to these Christians, this church in Colossae. He's writing to them, that's in in Europe, and he writing to them, and he says, take off the old self, take off the old nature, put on the new self, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance to give someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So this idea of getting dressed is Old Testament and New Testament. And here in Jubilee is the idea that we get dressed and we ask the question, am I getting dressed for a wedding or getting dressed for a funeral? Number two, joy instead of mourning. You're going to be a joyful person, even if you have terrible grief, even if you've had terrible loss. I know that for my dad, he had to choose each day. Is it going to be filled with joy or is it going to be filled with mourning? And then number three is praise instead of despair. Are you going to be thankful that praise can be thanking or adoration? Are you going to be thankful instead of having a spirit of despair? And when we get dressed, you know, we can many times wake up, and many times, I don't know if you've heard this term, you know, you woke up in a mood. How many have ever heard that expression? Okay, six of you have heard that. So there's this expression, for the rest of you don't know, that you know that someone wakes up in a mood. You know, boy, you know, he woke up in a mood, or boy, she woke up in a mood. And it's always negative. It's always negative, you know. It's just like, whoa, what? He woke up in a mood, you know. It's never that. It's always like, oh, they woke up in a mood, you know. Watch out for the boss. He just came in. He's got a mood, you know. And I want you to know that I think that there is a mood every time we wake up. We wake up and we walk down, for us, we walk downstairs. We're in a mood, and either you are in a joyful mood, a praising mood, or you're in a mourning mood and a despair mood. And, you know, Elaine would ask me when we were separated for 5 days. She stayed an extra 5 days in Hawaii without air conditioning, and I was here with the cool and the snow. And she would say, how's it going, you know? And she would ask, how is your mood? You know, and how's your spirit? How are you doing? I want to know emotionally, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? And if I wasn't feeling really up at that moment, I said, oh, I'll tell you when you come home, you know, I'll really let you have it. No, I'll tell you later, you know, because I don't always want to just, you know, pour out the mood that I'm in. But I want you to know, most of the time I said, you know, I'm doing really good. And then we could talk, and I really felt good after I talked with her. The fourth one is this double portion instead of shame and disgrace. And I know there's some people that get up every morning, and you may be one of these people where you get up in the morning and you don't feel good about yourself. And there's a lot of people that have a bad self-image, and they get up and they many times have shame, or they have feelings of shame or disgrace or inadequacy. And they're discouraged or they're depressed or they've had failure in their life or all those kind of things. And they just have a despairing spirit. And this one I love, verse 7, is the idea of having a double portion instead of shame and disgrace. Having a double portion of God's inheritance. A double portion of having God's everlasting joy. And you can actually ask God for a double portion. And I believe in asking for a double portion. You know, I ask for cassoulet every time, a double portion. We have pumpkin pie at Christmas. I ask for a double portion. And the idea of asking God for a double portion is a wonderful concept, that we celebrate Jubilee by asking Him. And then the question is, what should we ask Him for? What would you ask Him for if you were to ask for a double portion? You know, well, for me, I ask for a double portion of His Spirit every week before I preach. And I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to have a double portion, a full measure of His Spirit. I also, when I speak to people, I want to be able to be an encourager. And so I ask that He would give me a double portion of a spirit of encouragement. A spirit of encouragement that I encourage people. And then I learned this from my dad, is that Thanksgiving, when my dad was going through grief with the loss of my mom, mornings were the hardest for him. He struggled in the mornings. And he said he would just start thanking Jesus for Novella. That was my mom's name. And 62 years they got to live with each other. And he would just start reliving some of the things and thanking God for that and thanking God for that season and thanking God for their life and thanking, you know, through the different seasons of life and my mom's spirit and my mom's encouragement of him and the relationship they have. And, you know, he would just be thanking. And he says by the time he got done thanking, he felt better. And then he says, and then I do something that's probably not biblical. So I'll step down here because a lot of people will think this is just my opinion, and I'm not telling you to do this, and I'm not saying this is even right. But my dad would talk to my mom, and he says, I don't know if she can hear me or not. And we don't know. Biblically, probably not. We don't know. He says, but I feel comfort talking to her and telling her about my day and what I'm going to do and how much I loved her and how much I still love her and how dear she is. And so I want you to know that when we ask for a double portion, I don't know what you need in a double portion. I don't know if you need thankfulness or you need a double portion of peace or a double portion of joy or a double portion of forgiveness or a double portion of assurance. I know there's a lot of theology out there that are kind of health and wealth, name it and claim it. You know, and so double portion to them is asking God for more money, and you know, that double portion is just always more material things. But I want you to know that the idea of Jubilee and the idea of the Messiah and Jesus coming, especially at Christmas season, is the idea of celebrating him and giving him glory and changing the instead that we have joy and beauty and praise and a double portion of Jesus. Amen? Hey, let me have you stand, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to come and sing a song. And the song that we're going to sing also uses the insteads. So see if you can see where it says the insteads. Father God, just thank you for sending us your Son. We thank you for having an Advent week where we can focus on love, that we can love one another, that we can love you, that you sent your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying for us. Thank you that you're the Jubilee. You're the one that proclaims liberty and release from captives. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our Jubilee. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. And we give you all the glory, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.